You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil. I'm joined here by Ken. How are you, man?
Hello, sir. I'm just happy to be wearing actual clothes during this pandemic time.
Yeah, it's a little chillier outside today, so you were able to get away with no clothes today.
Yeah.
And Matt and Jeff aren't here.
No.
Why isn't Jeff here today?
Well, he bought a vehicle. It's from the 1970s, and he's been working on it. I believe he's overhauling the engine.
Okay.
Except it's a pontoon boat.
Oh.
So he's working on that pontoon boat.
He seems like someone who would work on a pontoon boat and then make sure to tell you how to pronounce pontoon correctly.
How do you pronounce it correctly?
I think you just pronounce it pontoon.
Pontoon?
Yeah, like the...
From the French.
Right, and they also have a hair care product, I believe, as yeah. well. And Matt's not here. He's been obsessed with the TV show Cobra Kai. If you haven't seen it, it's a lot of fun. And I believe he's actually taking karate right now, trying to emulate
oh, really?
Daniel-san. Yeah.
Well, I know he waxes off a lot.
He does wax off a lot. You're correct. Not at work, though, at least not that we know of. But we have some very special guests here today. Our first two guests are two of the funniest writers, performers, directors, people that I know personally. And they have a wonderful podcast called 90 Under 90, which you need to check out. And I'll let them explain it a little bit more. But welcome to the show, Dan and Jeremy Eden. How's it going, guys?
No, hey, thanks a lot for having us on here and for transitioning from wax off onto us. I appreciate that smooth transition.
Hey, The more wax, the smoother it is, right?
Yeah, but thank you. That's very nice of you to say, and we love working with you whenever we get the chance, especially right now.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you guys, what have you been up to? And can you tell listeners about your podcast? Because I think if anyone likes movies in a podcast form, I think they're going to enjoy it.
Dan?
I guess. Jeez. No, it's a podcast in which we had a, each season, we'll call it, has a curated list of 90 movies chosen by us, sometimes requested by listeners, and they're all under 90 minutes in length, and we discuss them with a guest, a different guest every week from an interchangeable crew that we have accrued over the last couple of years. We're now in season two on episode 130 or something like that, Jer?
Yeah, overall, something like that. Yeah, I don't even exactly know where we are. But yeah, we're definitely over 125 at this point.
Nice.
It's just, yeah, just a good place to talk about movies, just have fun, you know, joke around.
Yep. For better or worse. I mean, some of them are good, some of them are bad.
They're all great.
Yeah, from someone's perspective.
It's like, who is that, P.T. Anderson?
Yeah.
Says there's no bad movies, just movies that aren't for me.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure some people don't like the movies, but they're at least funny when you talk about them. I was on the show, luckily, and we talked about Walking Tall, a rock classic. So that was a lot of fun.
There you go.
Yes.
And there's definitely a lot of Vince McMahon impressions. So if you know what he sounds like, check it out.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he popped by for a little while.
Well, yeah, he did an ad for us. And it was really nice of him to do that.
Yeah. I know. He was
time out of his
busy
schedule.
Yeah.
It's very charitable.
Yeah,
it's great to have sponsors, but it's also great to get like high class celebrities to do the ads for us. It's
just the ads too. It's interesting. Yeah,
fantastic. And our special guest host today, someone who's been on the show before. You might have heard him on the Simpsons bonus tournament. He is an Oakland 5 supporter on Patreon. We appreciate his support. And that is Rick Carrero. How's it going, Rick?
That's none of your damn business, and I'll thank you to stay out of my personal affairs.
Well, that response was worth the wait, Rick. We've been waiting all day to get shut down. So how are you doing today? What are you up to?
Yeah, just been excited. Movies is, you know, I always feel like there's regular trivia, but I always want more movies in the trivia, you know?
That's true,
so I'm
me
happy
too.
That Dan and Jeremy got that going. I will check out their show when it's out.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. So other than that, my wife, beautiful wife, Debbie, just had our 5-year anniversary. We don't have no kids, just our two great little poodle dogs. And I just been excited for the movie episode, and it's a little bit good timing for me as well, because I'm starting my own podcast, and it's called Championship Trivia, and it's basically going to be who's the best at any given category. And, nice. You know, whoever's the, you know, it'll be like a one-on-one show. And then somebody will be the champion, and they'll be on like the website as the champion of Seinfeld, let's say.
Okay.
And we'll have anyone who wants to challenge them, you know, well, you know, can come on the website or wherever I'm going to be on. And so it's going to be fun competition, and also, you know, bragging rights as well.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that does cool. Sound good.
You'll have to let us know when that launches.
Literally, whatever there's a category, I'm going to have a game for two people to battle it out on.
Very nice.
Awesome. Well, let us know when you get to presidential finger length and give us a call. And I guess if you've heard from what Rick said, today's going to be a movie game.
Yeah. So since today's a movie game, how about we send it over to a movie star for the rules?
Triviality Podcast is two rounds of 20 questions worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there's a special swing round by this week's host. In the final round, players wager points they've earned for a chance to become the cream of the crop.
I'm talking about all the way to the top. Yeah.
Now, for listeners, Dan and Jeremy here, who are on the show, that was Gilbert Gottfried, who gave us his rules reading for today.
Yeah, that's true. We weren't sure if you'd recognize his voice. We just wanted to let you know that was Gilbert. So.
Gotcha.
So we'll be a team today, Ken. And Dan and Jerry obviously will be a team. So might as well, just to keep it simple for the listener, we'll have 90 under 90 versus Triviality.
Sounds good.
Rick, feel free to take over the game. We're ready to play.
So we're going to start with number one. Category is going to be hilarious movie sequels. So I'm starting off with something fun here, and then we'll get into some more serious ones.
Schindler's List questions come later. So
yeah. All right. Question number one. There has been quite a few Leprechaun sequels. I'm going to tell you four sequel titles, and you will tell me which one is correct, as I made up the other three. Number one, The Final Charm. Number two, In Space. Number three, Rainbow to Hell. And number four, Dead Man's Coin.
I think me and Neil can lock in here, right?
I think so. Yeah, we can let Dan and Jer talk.
Jer.
Oh, no, we know it.
Yeah.
In Space.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also said the same, In Space.
That's right. I'm disappointed. Disappointed nobody fell for any of my clever names.
I did love them,
you're supposed to
though.
Laugh at the fake ones. I think he's supposed to distract.
Hey, I could have just been unfamiliar with the Leprechaun movies as a whole and just,
right,
you know?
Right.
True.
Hey, I'm actually happy then I got a laugh there, because you kind of gave it away to the other team. Probably wasn't.
Oh, no. I've definitely seen Leprechaun in Space, which I don't know if that's something to admit. So that's how we knew that one.
All right. So that's a good start. Let's get on to question number two. What is the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time?
Well, may I ask a follow-up question? Is this adjusted for inflation, or are we just going by the box office total dollars?
This is not with inflation.
I can take a guess.
Educated guess as well.
You should do it.
Okay. I'm going to say that is Joker.
All right. Great guest there. Actually, I didn't even think of that. I forgot that that just came out. I know it was at the top for a very short period of time, at least for R-rated horror movies, but Ken wrote down an answer that I think at least at some point was the highest.
Yeah, maybe Deadpool.
All right, we got Deadpool and Joker, and Team 90 Under 90 is getting points.
Good one.
Completely forgot about Joker, right. Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to question number 3. The category is undecisive much? At the 1969 Oscars, there was a rare tie for Best Actress between what two legendary actresses? I will give you 10 points if you can name one, and a bonus point if you can name both.
Jer, do you have any guesses?
I have no idea.
Okay, then I'm just going to... Can I throw out two names?
Sure.
All right, here's my guess. Ready?
Yeah, this'll be our official guess.
Okay. Jane Fonda and Sally Field.
69? Ooh.
Yeah, baby.
I don't know.
Nice. Jane Fonda and Sally Field. Great actresses. I remember this fact. I've known it for a long time, but I've forgotten at least half of it. I'm almost positive one of them is Barbara Streisand, I think for Yentl, maybe. And then the other one, I feel like Liza Minnelli's coming to me, but I think she might have won it like in 67 for Cabaret by herself. But our second answer is Liza Minnelli, but I think we're more sure on Barbara Streisand. So those are our answers.
Okay, so Triviality is getting 10 points for Barbara Streisand and no points for 90 Under 90. And the bonus would have been Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't believe I have to share my Oscar.
You're telling me this two-bit actress is going to take my award? Yeah.
Can't they just pick a winner? Like, they is it that fight. Close?
Well, back then, at least, I think they probably just hated each other equally through their representation, and you know, one said that they were the true winner until there was actual bloodbath or something like that. But
all right, let's go to question number 4. Category is You Go Girl. Okay, so Saoirse Ronan was the second actress to have 4 Oscar nominations by the age of 25. Who was the first?
We are going to go ahead and lock in here because I think Neil and I are on the same page.
I would choose, logically speaking, I'm going to have to assume that this person started young. And truth be told, I don't know the body of work well enough, but the name I'm going to guess.
Go for it.
Jodie Foster.
Hmm. So I think this person got their first nomination for the hilarious Winter's Bone.
Yeah, this is a full-fledged comedy. I think it was produced by the Zanuck brothers.
Yeah. And it had the guy from Eastbound and Down in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So extra funny there.
Yeah.
But we're going to go with J-Law herself, Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm. Oh, man. Triviality. I'm not enough.
Yeah, Triviality is getting points. I will accept J-Law.
All right.
I always forget how many times she's been nominated, like American Hustle, Winner's Bone, Joy, I think, and then...
That original song she wrote for Gangs of New York.
Silver Linings.
Mm-hmm. Proving how much that I love the Oscars.
Yeah, Jeremy is the biggest Oscars fan that we know, and behind him is a poster of just all the Best Picture winners over the years.
All right, let's go on to question number 5. The category is Duo Bond. We have a lot of tri-bonds, but never any duo bonds. So I'm going to tell you. Yeah, we've all been wanting an easier version of
clamoring.
The tri-bond. All right. I'm going to tell you 2 movies, and you will tell me which actor was in both of them, actor, actress.
Okay.
So who appeared in the movie Old School and also appeared in a Jurassic Park movie?
Oh, I can lock it in.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you guys are going to lock in over there?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to refrain from talking very fast and throwing lines that aren't in the script. I believe you're writing down Vince Vaughn from Chicago. Is that correct, Ken?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go with Vincent. I'm not sure if that's his real name. Vincent Vaughn.
As will we. Vince Vaughn.
Yes.
So if his real name is not Vincent Vaughn, is that the incorrect answer? I'm just double-checking here.
I'm going to give ourselves credit.
You guys are going with Vaughn? Yes, you guys are both correct.
Isn't Vincent Vaughn the killer in the Halloween series?
Yeah.
or he's also he's cousins with Vincent Vega. Is that correct? From Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm. It was going to be him, Travolta, and Madsen. They were all going to be in one movie together. It was going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're after five questions. We have Triviality with 40 points and 90 Under 90 with 30 points.
Nice.
All right.
All right. Ready for question six. Category is some people just can't stay retired. In Men in Black 2, a retired K now works at the post office using this name.
I think I know.
Oh, right. Really?
Which is so sad. It is so sad. If I'm right on this, I'm going to hate myself a little bit.
So, yeah, I have no idea what his name was in that movie. I don't know.
I haven't
watched that movie in 20 years.
I think I saw it.
How long has it been since it came out? But
yeah.
What about Tommy K. Jones?
I like Tommy K. Jones.
All right. Let's go with that.
Star of The Runaway. And other similar sounding movies that Tommy Lee Jones starred in. Yeah, let's go with that.
The Runaway. I didn't maim my spouse. I don't regard that. And then he jumps down the ditch.
Mm-hmm. It's the man with one leg, right? That's coming after him.
Yep.
All right, so Triviality's in with a joke answer and 90 under 90.
Yeah, it's going to be Kevin Brown.
Yeah, I was just wanting the first name really, but Kevin Brown. Yeah, I think it is Brown as well. How did you know both?
It's just weird.
The knowledge that I do choose to retain, not even choose, the knowledge that I do retain is really ridiculous. And we did do Men in Black 2 on the show.
Episode. Yeah.
So like that's probably the only reason. I was confident about Kevin. Let's just say that I knew his name was Kevin.
He's really brushed up on the Men in Black canon. So
yeah.
All right, let's move on to question number 7. Category is three movies from a small book. In the Hobbit movies, who voices Smaug?
Lock it in. I got it locked.
Yep. I believe this is a man who says penguin in a strange way.
Ah, Mr. Cumberbatch.
Cucumber Bushel.
Cucumber Bushel, yeah. I haven't seen these movies, but I do now remember the behind-the-scenes footage of him, like, crawling around with motion capture.
with the, like, green screen suit on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growling and whatnot.
Yeah, so we're going to go with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Same. Yes.
Yeah, Cumbie. You guys are both right.
Now, what if I didn't know the answer and I just said same? Like, they got it right. Like...
This game works on the honor system. So.
Yeah, we trust you.
No, I'm totally messing. I knew it was Benny Cumberbatch. So here,
as he's widely known.
All right, let's go on to question number 8. Category is no TV and no beer. What hell is this? Never mind. Question: In The Shining, what does Wendy Torrance read on the typewriter?
I'll lock it in right now.
Yeah, locked in.
Dan in with a thunderous lock-in. While it is not my favorite line in the movie, which is, Wendy, light of my life, I won't say the rest, but I believe it is, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Is that right, Ken?
Yes.
Okay, that's what we're locking in with.
You guys are locked in? Okay.
With the Dan hack.
No, I'm going to have to hear the whole sentence because word for word.
Yep. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Good job. Both correct.
See, now there's a way you can test people if they are trying to cheat by saying same. You should just force them to say the exact same. So if they weren't paying enough attention.
I will call their asses out on it.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, that's how I got far in spelling bees. They'd be like, spell superfluous. And I'd be like, whatever it is. And they'd be like, all right. And they would advance me to the next round.
All right. Fair game. Yeah.
And that's why the musical Putnam County Spelling Bee is based on Dan's life.
Question number 9. Category is, I'll take my frap double blended, is what I think James Bond would be drinking if he was around now. All right, so the question is, there has been 26 James Bond movies to date. How many was Sean Connery in?
Okay, so we're going to start with our answer first. Rick asked for the number of James Bond films that Sean Connery was in. I'm just going to say for the record here, the film he was in, Never Say Never Again, is technically not canon for James Bond because it was not with the same estate that made the other films. So we're going to lock in with 6 films. Dr. No, Goldfinger, Thunderball, From Russia with Love, You Only Live Twice, and Diamonds Are Forever. So that is our locked in list.
Okay. And under 90?
Yes, I 100% agree. And if you want me to list the titles, I can as well.
No, I'll take that. Yeah, yeah, it's six. You guys are both correct.
All right. Cool. I'm glad we can agree that Never Say Never is not canon, because
it ain't.
Nor would be the original Casino Royale.
Exactly. Yes, with David Niven.
All right. So this is question number 10, the final question before the swing round. Category is hashtag don't kill me. How many times has Sean Bean been killed in movies and shows?
Oh, man.
Is this
within
a certain number, within five or one or something or three?
Yes, I will do within three.
Okay.
We'll lock in with a guess.
I'm just going to throw out a random number that I think might be right.
You would have a more educated guess than I would on Sean Bean's death count in movies. So I will defer to you.
I'm going to guess 22.
All right. And
ours is actually pretty close.
Yeah, it is.
We just went with 26.
Wow. I never thought you both would get points on this.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know how you guys both got to that many, but some of them are pretty hilarious.
Well, I know Jeremy runs a message board called the Bean Counter every time he dies.
Yeah. That's right.
It does that little confetti.
That's why I didn't.
Effect.
I couldn't answer because I felt like it was cheating. I knew the answer. Like I manage the answer every single day, and I have a Google alert that like I don't even trust the Google alert. I check on my own.
So it was 24, 25?
Oh, sorry. The answer was 23.
Oh, 23.
Oh.
So coming into the swing round here, we have Triviality with 80 points. And Dan and Jeremy just caught up with us. They also have 80. So what do you have for the swing round today?
All right. The swing round today is going to be secondary character names.
Okay.
So everybody remembers main characters in movies and shows. But how well will you remember secondary characters or tertiary? So I got 10 secondary characters here. I'm going to tell you the movie they're in and either the actor's name or I could describe the character's name in a way, and you'll have to give me the name of that character.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So number one is in the movie Anchorman. It would be Christina Applegate's character's name. And I'll have a bonus point if you could also give me the name that was put on the prompter as they introduced Christina Applegate's character with this name. Okay, number two is in the new Star Wars movies. In The Force Awakens, the round droid. Number three, Kindergarten Cop, John Kimball's arch nemesis. And number four, in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, what is the name of the ghost truck driver? And for a bonus point, the name of Pee-wee's nemesis.
I love this movie.
Number five is Die Hard. And this is, I feel it's a deep cut because it's such a, I feel, watched movie. So I want the name of the limo driver. So number six is Lethal Weapon, Joe Pesci's character. Number seven, National Treasure. The character's name is Justin Bartha, or Nicolas Cage's character's sidekick character. Number eight, Roadhouse. The actor's name is Ben Gazzara, and that would be the evil town kingpin with a ridiculous amount of animal trophies on the wall. Number nine, Aliens. One of the best movies with one of the best endings, in my opinion. And I want the name of the droid. And number 10 is Home Alone. And I want this one is going to be two names. I need both names of the first names of the thieves.
Okay, we will consider these answers and we'll be right back.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. we answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The Nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the Nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police.
I should shut up, exactly. Exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Okay, all the answers have been locked in. Right before we throw it back to Rick, just wanted to mention to join us over at The Crop, our Facebook group. If you want to hear different announcements, different things going on Facebook, you can hit us up over there, or you can join us on Instagram and Twitter at Triviality Pod. Most of the time, it's Matt posting behind the scenes photos over on Instagram and Twitter. We try to get into some hijinks when we can. So
he got me in a rope the other day, actually.
He did get you in a row. Or was that on our private Instagram account?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Sorry.
But make sure you join us over there at Triviality Pod, and we look forward to saying hello. So, Rick, we are ready to hear these questions again and give our answers.
All right. Let's start with number one. Anchorman. Christina Applegate's character's name and a bonus 1 point for the teleprompter name.
All right. We'll start over here. We luckily came up with, I believe, what her name is. I think it's Veronica Corningstone. But I couldn't remember what was on the teleprompter, Ken.
We said Veronica Horningstone. Because it's that
kind
of movie.
And 90 under 90?
Yeah, it's going to be Veronica Corningstone. And we did know the bonus one, at least I'm fairly confident, in McGee.
Yeah, so that's 5 points each. And 90 is getting bonus points for that.
For the record.
All right, question number two, Star Wars, The Force Awakens droid.
All right, that one is the Admirable BB-8.
BB-8.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay, number three, this one I felt was hard, but felt somebody could get it. It's Kindergarten Cop and John Kimball's arch nemesis name.
So I believe what his last name is, if it's Jeopardy rules here. Because my brother has a joke about it that he constantly says, but it is very, very possible that his joke is the incorrect name. But I believe his last name is Crisp, like a Rice Krispie treat. So I think it's Crisp. So that's what we went with.
Okay. Crisp. We got a Crisp over here and number 90. What do you got?
I'm really confident in this one, Rick. It's Peter Villainsley.
Yes, that 100% real name is what we're going to lock in for ours.
Mm-hmm. All right, that is incorrect, but
what?
Crisp is
correct. Check your sources, Rick.
Crisp.
What? Crisp. Give me 5 minutes, I'll be back. It's Colin Crisp, and I would have, I should have been specific, but I would have taken first or last name considering that was a hard one. So that's 5 points for Triviality.
Thanks to your brother.
Yeah, thank you to my brother for his very vulgar joke, including the name Crisp.
Yeah.
Can only imagine.
All right, number four, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. What was the ghost truck driver's name and a bonus point for Pee-wee's nemesis?
Yeah, this was a childhood staple for me. So the ghost truck driver is Large Marge, and tell them that they sent you. I believe the nemesis was Francis.
Mm. Okay, yes. Sure. We're going to lock in Large Marge. We're going to lock in Francis. And hey, I'm going to even go one step further because I'm going to show off here. I have greater Pee-wee knowledge here, which is not something I should take pride in at all. Francis Buxton.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a hard one to get that last name.
Not really, man. They make a great joke about it. That Weasley guy who looks like he's straight out of Happy Days, he calls him Buxton.
So fork over you know my what? Money.
Fork over your money for lifting it for you.
Buxton.
So I also, as Ken, this was a staple. I saw it probably 30, 40 times as a kid, but not in a long time. I think that deserves a rewatch.
Definitely.
Absolutely. I think it deserves an annual rewatch from here on out for the rest of your life, personally.
You're just throwing down the Pee-wee gauntlet.
That's just me. That's
and,
just me.
And you know what? That one that they did on Netflix wasn't half bad either. It was no big adventure, but it was not bad.
All right, number five. This one is a deep cut. The limo driver.
All right, I want you to pull that gun to the parking lot. Wait for me, Argyle. All right. So we went with Argyle. How about you, Dan and Jared? What do you guys say?
That sounds it's ringing lots of bells, but I just said Eddie.
Yeah, I could not remember, to be honest with you. I've only seen Die Hard a handful of times actually, and I'm not that familiar with it.
It is Argyle.
All right. Points.
And actually, coming into the Skype right now, we're so lucky to get him away from his independent movies that he's been doing. Mr. Willis, I believe you're here to tell us the origin of the name Argyle from Die Hard.
All right, so here's the thing. I had this guy. He was working for me. He was my assistant. He did lots of things for me. And one day I saw him wearing an Argyle sweater, and I said, from now on, your name is Argyle. He said, my name is Joe. I said, I don't care. And then that's basically it. From then on out, I called him Argyle. I didn't give him the option.
I've hated people ever since.
Well, thank you so much for that, Mr. Wills. We appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Number six, Lethal Weapon, Joe Pesci's character.
Oh, Jer's a huge Lethal Weapon fan. I'm a pretty big fan myself.
Okay.
Over here, we had no idea. I couldn't remember. I knew at one point he had blonde hair. I don't know if that was in the fourth one? I don't remember, but we just went with okay, because I couldn't remember his full name.
Yeah, he had Neil Frosted Tips.
That's true. He looked like Billy Idol in Lethal Weapon 3. He was selling real estate at that point. He had a different job in every single movie. But yeah, whatever you want, Leo gets.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There we go. Leo gets. Yep.
Whatever you want, Leo gets.
Okay.
That's good. All right. Show classic, National Treasure, Justin Bartha's character.
I'd be in trouble if I got this one wrong in the next question. So we locked in with Riley Poole, and that is Poole with an E.
That's good, but I think mine's right, and it's Fart Clownsley.
I'm pretty sure.
Someone's getting points here.
Damn.
It is Riley Poole. All right. Number eight, Roadhouse. Actor's name is Ben Gazzara.
This is not fair, and I told Rick that because you got a Roadhouse poster right behind you.
Yeah,
it's fine. I'm just saying.
Yeah, my head is right by.
Clownsley better be right. That's all I'm saying.
My head is right by Patrick Swayze's high-waisted, jeaned crotch. Ben Gazzara plays the villain of Roadhouse, the man who claims to be bringing JCPenney to Jasper, Missouri, and that would be Brad Wesley.
It says here in my notes, I got something different. Jared, do you know? I think we agreed on this one.
Yes, we did.
What was it?
It was Pinky.
No. What? It was Muck Plato.
Ah, yes, Muck Plato.
Yeah.
Muck Plato. That's the guy's name. He's the regal Muck Plato. He's been in many things.
Well, unless you could give me some proof on that, I'm giving points to Triviality there, and unfortunately, only them. All right, number nine, Aliens, the droid who gets ripped in half at the end.
He's the guy who's got that sweet knife game, that knife trick, and that would be, can I go first?
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's gonna be Bishop.
Bishop.
Okay.
We just said the best robot we know, Matt.
Just Matt? Oh, sorry. Okay, no, it is Bishop.
Oh, thank you. Yay. Matt's a good name, though, for a robot. Is it an acronym or just Matt?
More of a non-fiction type thing.
Right. Okay. I can dig it.
All right. Number 10, Home Alone, The Two Thieves.
This one took a little bit longer. I remembered Daniel Stern was Marv right away, and I think Joe Pesci was Larry.
You're correct on Marv. I would agree with Marv, but it's Harry.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, off by a letter. It is Harry.
We had so much trouble with that one. We couldn't remember if it was Lenny or Larry or, yeah.
Close.
So you're saying you don't watch Home Alone every single year like I do?
No, I do, but I just, for some reason, did not pull that name. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Neil, your Home Alone knowledge. Woof.
Hey, but I but I would have pulled the Wet Bandits and the Sticky Bandits. Yeah. So.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny.
He can
it's
remember
funny.
Wet and Sticky.
Hey.
That's on my business card.
Okay, after that swing around, we picked up 36 points, bringing us to 116. 90 under 90 got 32 points, and they're at 112. So it's very tight.
All right, so let's get into round two. Category is John Carter all over again. Finish the movie title, Valerian and the City of.
I got this. All right. Lock it in.
Locked.
All right, so they're locked in. Is it City of the Gods or?
No, I'm pretty sure it's City of a Thousand Planets.
So Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets?
I think so.
And this is
even
not.
Even though that sounds kind of like counterintuitive, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Okay, this is the Dane DeHaan joint.
Yes.
Because I remember my brother's like, do you want to see it? And I said, nah, not really.
It's such a shame because a lot of the design in that movie is so good.
Yeah.
So there's so much good going for it, but it's just so bad.
I can't remember.
I totally agree. Yeah.
I can't remember if this is Luc Besson, but that's
it
our
is,
answer.
It is Luc Besson.
Okay, so that's
City
our
of a Thousand Planets.
Yeah.
My answer as well is Valerian, the City of a Thousand Planets.
Yeah, that's correct. You guys both got it.
Cool.
All right. So question number 12. Category, McAvoy is best. In the movie Split, Kevin Wendell Crumb has 23 distinct personalities, including a boy named Hedwig, a motherly figure, Miss Patricia, and the Beast. What villain name is given to him by the media?
Ooh, that's a good one, man.
That's a really good question.
Thanks. Thanks.
Well, I thought it through. I got my answer. I locked in.
So these guys are locked in. I'm trying to remember because I thought he was just called the Beast, but now that he mentions it, I remember them calling him something. I keep thinking of that X-Men Legion.
Right.
How it's like many parts of a whole. So I'm trying to remember if it's like the Hive or the Swarm or Scourge.
I mean, that sounds good to me. I'm so at a loss with this one because like I said, I thought Swarm? It had something to do with the subway, but I don't think that's correct.
I kind of like the Swarm. I don't know if that's right, but.
That's fine. We can lock that in.
All right.
It's so funny. That you say Legion, because that's when I was thinking it through. That's exactly what I said. And what I came up with, he is the Horde.
The Horde. Mm. That's right.
It's correct. It is the Horde.
Oh, man, I
was
so close.
That's a great question. That was a good question, man.
Thank you. And that's a great villain name, too. Number three category is quantity, not quality. Within 50, how many acting credits does Michael Madsen have?
So I know he does a lot of voices, too, and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I just want to say...
Yeah, we'll lock in quick here. Yeah,
all right, we're locked in.
I'll lock in with a guess, a somewhat not really educated guess, but I'll throw it out there. I'll lock it in now.
Okay, sure. We're going to say 300.
Shoot. Okay. I'm going to... Mine was like... Well, my guess is 160.
Triviality getting points. It's 308. Dang.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, nice guess there, Ken.
What a machine.
This
I just kind of knew the upper end of where people kind of clock out on IMDb, and I'm sure he's nearly there, but he's usually not ranked on those lists because it's a lot of like video game voices and things like that. So.
Right.
Okay, question number four. Category is, take a deep breath. In the movie Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, when Ace takes a deep breath to explain what he knows about Ray Finkel, he belts out an astonishing 55 words in one breath. Within 1 second, how long was this classic scene?
How long was the scene? How long was the line, or how long was the scene?
How long did it take him to get through that one little speech?
Yeah, from beginning to end of the breath, the one breath, how many seconds is that? And I'll give it within one.
Okay. Jerry, you want to guess?
I'm literally running through it in my head right now.
Mm-hmm. All right,
yeah,
we'll lock
that's
in.
Exactly
so
what
you,
I want you to do.
We'll lock in, so Jared, feel free.
Jared, do you
want to
quote it? Can you do it?
I can't quote the whole thing. I just know soccer-style kicker, graduated from Collier High, June 1969, blah, 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 former nickname the Mule. Well, first and only pro athlete to ever come out of Collier County and won hell of a model American. I'm going to say that takes about 7 seconds.
Yeah, we couldn't get that close with the quote. I do remember the scene, but we said 20 seconds.
So no points on this one. It was 15 seconds.
Mm. Ooh.
Which
right
which
in the middle.
The number does not do it justice. If you actually were to try to talk for 15 seconds in a row, saying anything you wanted to, it's very hard.
Yeah.
He is a master.
Jim Carrey's just got many, many tricks in his sleeve. All right. Question number 5. The category is ghosts instead of aliens, Men in Black. In the movie R.I.P.D., which actor plays Ryan Reynolds' partner?
Oh, I got this. Lock it in.
Okay, they're locked in. I believe it's Jeff Bridges, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know why, but yeah.
Because what it's making me think of is James Hong, who we had on the show, and he played their disguise, one of their disguises. Mm. But yeah, I think it is Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
Now, did you really have James Hong on the show?
We really did.
We really did, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he was... Wow.
We had a good long hour-long conversation with James Hong.
Yeah, very fascinating guy, fascinating life, if you haven't heard that episode yet, anyone listening. But yeah, really cool dude.
Wow. You think he'll get the star on the Walk of Fame?
Oh, he'll get it.
We hope so. I emailed his management, because on this show, we were like, people write letters to James Hong, and I think, I don't know, 7 or 10 people did, but... Daniel Day-Kim's going to get all the credit, but that's okay. He was a movie star, so that's fine.
James Hong's a legend. That's great.
But yeah, we locked in with Jeff Bridges, though, officially.
Yes, Jeff Bridges, same.
You guys are both correct. It's Jeff Bridges.
All right, so after the first 5 questions, that brings us to 146 to 142.
All right, so let's go on to question number 16. Category is true story. What is the movie Dog Day Afternoon about? Too bad Clive Owen wasn't available.
I got this. I'll lock it in.
Yeah, it's a bank robbery movie, right?
Yeah, bank robbery.
Based on a true story.
Yeah, and I can't remember the main person's name. But yeah, they were in the bank. I think, was there an inside man? Is that the Clive Owen reference there?
Yeah, but that's a bank robbery movie too. So yeah. I think we're just going with bank robbery.
Yeah.
I would also say bank robbery, Al Pacino. He's robbing the bank to pay for his lover's sex change operation.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. I actually heard about that first. You guys are both correct, by the way. I heard that first on a true crime podcast.
Oh, yeah. And then so you watched Dog Day?
Yeah, and then I got to it from the other way around. But that question was pretty hard on other people, so I kind of threw in the little clue there. I didn't know how hard it was going to be, but...
Yeah.
Very interesting
that the clue
story.
Was mentioned at least.
Yeah, and have to mention John Cazale, one of the best character actors, only in 5 movies, all of them best picture winners.
Yes. Yeah. He's his partner in that, right?
Wow. Yeah.
He's excellent.
Okay, let's move on to question number 17. Category is heads or tails. For which 1964 musical blockbuster did Julie Andrews win an Academy Award for Best Actress?
I got this. Jared, you know this?
I'm pretty sure we both agree on it, yes.
Okay. So there's 2 that come to mind for me. Mary Poppins would be one, and the other one is Sound of Music, right?
Sound of Music, yeah.
I would say Sound of Music should probably win 4, right?
Yeah, now I thought I was 100% sure, but when you said Mary Poppins, I forgot that also won quite a bit of awards because she played Mary Poppins on Broadway, too. It might be Mary Poppins, but Sound of Music won more awards. Shoot. 64, I'm trying to think. Sound of Music was either 66 or maybe it was 67. Yeah, man. All right, I'll just go whatever you want, because right now my head is hash browns.
Let's go with Extra Crispy, right?
Yeah, Extra Crispy, that's right.
All right, let's go with Sound of Music.
Okay.
And, Jer, were we both thinking Mary Poppins?
I think so, yeah. 64? I'm that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
That's what I'm going to guess, Mary Poppins.
It is Mary Poppins.
Yeah. I had a feeling. I couldn't
pin it down.
Yeah.
Okay. So question number 18. Category is music and movies. What DC villain shares a name with the band that sings the song Born to be Wild?
We're locked in over here.
No, because I don't know who sings Born to be Wild, but I can name every the Batman villain, but I can't. I don't know the connection to that song.
All right.
Son of a...
The Joker?
The Joker cut an album, guys.
I literally don't know who sings that song, which is really stupid because we all know that damn song. Yeah, no. You know what? Just because I don't know, I'm just going to say Man-Bat.
Man-Bat. I like that. I like that answer. I believe this is the character that's getting redesigned for the Snyder Cut coming out because people kind of bashed the CG design of the other one. I believe it's Steppenwolf. Yep.
Oh, that's dumb of me. That really is dumb.
It is Steppenwolf.
Oh, it's so good. Yep.
Such a good game, guys. You know, 90 went up. You went up by 10. Just last question. Now Triviality made it back up.
It's questions like that really make me hate myself, you know, when you're just like,
Yeah, it's a really tough thing to know the answer and it just not come. Or
imagine being the listeners at times when the guests don't know and they're just like, and they're trying to like telepathically tell us retroactively, you know?
Yeah. I think maybe that's why it's I get so many migraines because people are telepathically saying I'm stupid.
That could be it.
So I think we only have two questions left.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's almost at the end of the game. So it's very close. So let's see what you got, Rick.
All right. Question number 19. Category name. Samu Ben Jaflick. Name the 2002 movie that Samuel L. Jackson and Ben Affleck did together. Check your blind spot before answering.
Locking it in.
Wait, Dan, did you lock in? all right, I'm just going to...
Hold on. Wait. Locking it in.
Okay, let me just signal over to the left here and change lanes. We're going to lock in with Changing Lanes.
Yeah, it is. I saw it in the theater, Changing Lanes.
That's correct. Changing Lanes.
His computer says you're bankrupt. No, it doesn't. He says in the trailer when he throws the computer.
I also saw that in the theater, Dan. We have something in common there.
All right. Question number 20. Final question before the final round. Category is Indianapolis Jones doesn't have the same ring to it. In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, what kind of man must you be to pass through the blade-riddled booby trap right before the entrance to the Holy Grail room?
It's not an oil man, right?
I don't believe it is an oil man. No, I don't think he's an artist either, like a dress designer. We can lock in over here so you guys can talk.
Jer?
This is once again where I embarrass myself by saying that I've only seen 1.5 Indiana Jones movies, and then I bailed on the franchise. I had no interest.
Indiana Jones just doesn't do it for me. Boring. I'm gonna say it right now. They are boring.
It's a hot take, but hey,
I watched Raiders. I'm like, halfway through Raiders, I'm like, I don't want to watch the rest of this, but I feel like culturally I have to. And then I got about a half hour into Temple of Doom, and I'm like, no, enough of this.
All right, we locked in over here, so feel free to talk out loud.
Yeah, we're kind of stuck here. So
we're stumped. We got nothing.
Yeah, I couldn't remember exactly what it is. And Ken had said he knew at least one of them was that you had to be like a faithful man, and if that's whether he goes on the invisible bridge or not with the sand. But we just locked in with faithful man.
That's a good one, and I can't, I'm not in good conscience, take it and say it's ours. I was just going to say a strong man.
Like in the jumpsuit lifting.
Yeah, with the handlebar mustache. Curly mustache. That's what it takes.
Well, maybe it's virtuous. Yeah,
that's okay. Unfortunately, there's no points here. I'm hoping you guys will remember it when I say it. Only a penitent man may pass.
Mm. Oh, that's right. Only a penitent man will pass. Only a penitent man will pass. Yeah, that's right.
All right, so after the second round, it's 176 for Triviality, 172 for 90 under 90. So it's very close. We're going into the final round, and we'll make some wagers on what categories.
Category 1 will be comedies. Number 2 will be action. Number three will be sci-fi. Number four will be drama, deep cut. And number five will be horror.
Okay, the wagers are now locked in. So let's get the questions and see how we do.
Okay, question number one in comedies. In The Meaning of Life, when the Grim Reaper shows up at a dinner party to inform the guests that they are all about to die, what causes all their deaths? And be specific. Number two, in action. In the movie Bloodsport, our boy Frank Dukes must face off against the terrifying Chong Li in the finals of the Kumite. What nationality is Chong Li? Number three, in sci-fi. In the original Terminator, within two, how many lines does Arnie have? And I will tell you a hint that it's less than 100 words in total. Number four, drama deep cut. In the movie Forrest Gump, Forrest wears a different form of the same colored checkered shirt in the first scene of each age transition in the movie to signify a change in time. The movie ends with Forrest's son similarly wearing a checkered shirt when he's getting onto the school bus. What color are the checkered shirts? And last one, in horror. Since The Exorcist in 1974 to Get Out in 2017, there has been a total of six horror movies nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards, Silence of the Lambs being the only one to win the award. Name any two of the remaining three Best Picture nominees.
Okay, we will pour over these questions and come back with our answers.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
All right, all the answers are now locked in. So let's see how we did.
All right, question number one. What were your wagers?
We wagered 30 on all the questions, so we're going for broke.
We did. I did not feel as confident in all of the categories, but we did wager 30 for comedy.
Okay, in comedies, in The Meaning of Life, when the Grim Reaper shows up at a dinner party to inform the guests that they are all about to die, what causes all of their deaths? And be specific.
I believe it's food poisoning. I'm trying to remember this scene, but it's not coming to me as clearly as I'd like to.
Yes, it's food poisoning, and I'm semi-confident that it's the potato salad.
All right, so you guys are both correct. It was food poisoning, specifically salmon mousse.
Ew. Okay.
That'll do it.
Is that like an old-timey thing, or is that a British thing? Because that's horrible.
I gotta hope that that's only a British thing, and that doesn't spread throughout the rest of the world.
and they said, you know, did you use canned salmon again? And she said, no, the fishmonger seemed very upfront that it was good.
I just remember the mint guy who blows up.
He's just a wee mint.
Mr. Creosote.
Yeah.
A paper-thin wafer.
It is wafer-thin.
All right. 30 points gain, both sides there. Question two, in action, under 90, what was your wager?
20 points.
Still okay. Going big with 30.
All right. In the movie Bloodsport, our boy Frank Dukes must face off against the terrifying Chong Li in the finals of the Kumite. What nationality is Chong Li?
We remembered there was a Muay Thai fighter, which we thought would have been from Thailand. We remember him wearing red and black. We couldn't be for certain, but we just said China. We said Chinese.
And guessed Vietnamese.
Yeah, we had no real, weren't sure.
Well, it's both incorrect. The answer is South Korean.
Really?
So if you recall, the Chong Li's little trainer guy, he always has the same shirt, and you see the symbol on his shirt.
Oh, good catch.
All right, so question number three in sci-fi. In the original Terminator, within two, how many lines does Arnie have?
All right, so we wagered 30, as we said. This one, I was telling Ken, he thought it was the give me your boots, your clothes, all that stuff, but I said that was the second one. The first one, he hardly says any lines, and I was trying to go through them in my head. I think it's around 15, and I figured 15 would give us 13 and 17 to be correct, so that's what we locked in with.
We wagered 15 points on that, and yeah, I wasn't sure. I said 9. Dan thought it was higher. We ended up splitting the difference and calling it 16.
I am happy to inform both of you that you're both getting points.
Yeah.
The answer is 17, so you guys are both within the two.
Nice.
Wow. Nice.
Well done.
Did not expect that. Really good job, guys.
Thank you.
So now to question number 4. Drama, deep cut. In the movie Forrest Gump, Forrest wears a different form of the same colored checkered shirt in the first scene of each age transition in the film to signify a change in time. The movie ends with Forrest's son similarly wearing a checkered shirt when he's getting onto the school bus. What color are the checkered shirts? Or what is the main color in all of those checkered shirts?
Yeah, we went kind of back and forth between blue and red, and we settled on blue.
We wagered 25 points on this, and as I told Dan, I think my knowledge of the Weird Al video for Gump probably helped on this. I believe that it's a blue and white checkered shirt.
Both correct. It is some variation of a blue checkered shirt.
Cool.
All right, so the final question. Scores are very close, so it very well may come down to this one. So
it really it comes down to this.
I would say it definitely comes to this one.
Oh, man.
Because we also wagered 30 points on this one, so, I mean, it's...
Oh, shoot.
It's, we get it or we don't.
All right. Final question. Since The Exorcist in 1974 to Get Out in 2017, there has been a total of 6 horror movies nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards, Silence of the Lambs being the only one to win the award. Name any of the 2 remaining 3 Best Picture nominees.
Okay, so hopefully this one will make up for the Indiana Jones question. I think it came down to basically Shape of Water. Some people consider it a horror movie. That one won. And I believe the other two is Black Swan for one. And then some people call Jaws a horror movie when I guess it's debatable, but we went with Jaws for the second one.
We this was nominations for Best Picture, right? Just
yes.
Nominated. So
yes.
We guessed the first one, we might have the date wrong, but one of them is Rosemary's Baby. The other one is The Shining.
Triviality is getting points. The 3 correct answers are Jaws, The Sixth Sense, and Black Swan.
All right.
Oh, man.
Black well Swan done, guys. Is a horror movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know anything about Black Swan other than it was a huge thing at the time.
All right, that brings our game to a conclusion. We picked up 90 on that final round, bringing us to 266. Unfortunately, you guys only picked up 20 on that one, so you're at 192, which means today Triviality is the cream of the crop.
But the cream will rise to the top. Oh yeah.
Yeah, great game, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes. Well done, gentlemen.
Really humbling at times, I will say, to not know things that I really feel stupid for not knowing, but that's all what trivia is.
But you had some amazing polls, too, and we also want to thank Rick for joining us today and writing the game.
Yeah, Rick, well done, thank man. You.
Yeah, of course. I love
great
it.
Great questions.
You love it. You guys are all great. I enjoy listening. I enjoy helping. As I said earlier, I really do feel like I credit you guys for my wanting to start my podcast.
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah, well, we wish you the best of luck with it and appreciate you coming on today writing this game.
Yeah, no problem. I was just happy. You know, I always want it to go well. And I like it when the scores are close going into the final. And great job. You guys got a bunch of ones I didn't think you guys were going to get. I tried to mix it up as best I could. And really happy with the way it finished out.
Yeah, thanks. Awesome. And speaking of podcasts, please make sure to check out 90 Under 90 with Dan and Jeremy. And I think that'll bring it all around today, right, Neil?
That is correct. Make sure to check out Championship Trivia when it comes out for Rick. And Dan, you did have a website you wanted to plug for people to check out a film you're completing?
Yeah. You can go to anintervention.com. That's anintervention.com, one word. And you can check out our new feature film called An Intervention. You can watch the trailer, get some info on that. No release date secured yet, but it's coming this year, definitely.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming. all of our listeners, make sure to check out that film. There's a lot of our friends in that film, and Dan worked extra hard on it, and I know the whole team, Jeremy's in it. Give them some love and check out the film. It's going to be great. We appreciate you guys coming on. Check out 90 Under 90, like Ken said, for Jeff and Matt, who are not here, and Rick, Dan, and Jeremy, who are here. I'm with Ken, and that was Triviality.
I'm going to lock it in. You remember who wants to be? He used to always say that. Regis used to go, "Is it locked in? Did you lock it in?"
Yeah, that was the millionaire catchphrase.
Yeah.
It's like, you're risking $500.
Rest in peace, Regis Philbin.
Yes.